Okay, we're going to get started with our study now. The name of the study, I've been back and forth on what to call it, and I think I'm going to call it No Flesh Be Saved. And so anybody who wants to get a copy of this study up on the BibleOnly.net, that'll be the name that we'll call this, No Flesh Be Saved. This is part three. I do not have the other two parts up on the BibleOnly.net site yet. I'll try to do that tonight. If not tonight, I'll definitely get to it tomorrow evening or something. But we'll get it up there soon. So let's get started. We left off looking at the bond woman that was born after the flesh in Galatians chapter 4. And I think we'll start off reading that again because I think it's a perfect setting for the next group of verses that we're going to look at. And it also, putting these verses together with Romans 7, I think really kind of drives home the picture of the corporate church as being referred to as the flesh. I think this is some of the strongest verses. So let's look at that again. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. By the way, I'm coming through clear. I think I got some ones early. I am coming through clear. No problems with the sound or anything. Okay. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Now, obviously, it is the corporate church that is being addressed here. He stands in doubt of them. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. And this is the main focus of our study, looking at the flesh. Born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which genereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. So obviously this is a picture of those who are still in bondage, but are referred to as Jerusalem. And so this is the picture of the corporate church. But Jerusalem, which is above, that's the body of Christ, the body of believers, the Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. So Jerusalem below will persecute Jerusalem above, even so as it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So clearly we see that the bondwoman is born after the flesh. He that was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Galatians chapter 4, verse 23. Now I think this is a perfect verses that should lead us into our next group of verses that we're going to look into, which is Romans chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 22. And here we are told not to walk after the flesh. And now consider this, indeed this is talking about that we shouldn't walk after the flesh. That is the moral level, the level that is most obvious. Very quickly people see that God is telling us that we're to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And we're going to look at those verses. But consider this. Here is a picture telling us, where God is telling us not to walk after the corporate body, which again is after the flesh, that do mind the things of the flesh. God lists all kinds of sins and then goes through these sins that he refers to the church and calls them wicked and fornicators and all kinds of things. And then he gets down to the end of this list and he says, but having a form of godliness. You see, that form of godliness is the fact that they were in a church. It is a picture of the corporate body. It is a picture of the wicked in the corporate body. It is a picture of those who are false apostles and false teachers that God has constantly been warning us against. So let's look at Romans 7 and consider this. Keep this in mind as we look at Romans 7 and consider what we just learned about he that was born of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he that was born of the free woman was of the promise. And how he that was born after the flesh, in verse 29 of Galatians 4, just going back, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. It is now. So Romans 7, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, this inward man, of course, identifies with our existence and our soul existence in our heart where Christ dwells. But this inward man also, I think, is a picture of the inner sanctuary, the inner man being the body of Christ. After the inward man, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Remember, the Lord tells us that we have to be spiritually minded. They mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, or to be fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that riseth up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So here, you know, we see if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. You know, we don't want to live after the flesh. And again, I think this is a picture of the corporate body also, an entire spiritual picture here. It is figurative language. God, I think, has set the stage of appreciating it in that way, as we saw in Galatians 4, where he spoke of the bondwoman born after, he that was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, after the corporate body, but he of the free woman was by the promise, after the spiritual body, to become born again. And God is giving us the picture of what is going on in the church, in the corporate body. And we are told here, that we are to, how does he put it, mortify the deeds of the body. Let's see, verse 13. And if ye after the flesh, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And is not that the work of the body of Christ, to declare the truth? Isn't that where the Lord speaks of us to be found standing, to be mortifying the body, to be declaring the truth, to be preaching hell's fire and brimstone, along with the good news that that we can find grace in the eyes of God? We can cry out for mercy, but we have to recognize that you know, we are in a terrible way, and that we're wretched sinners heading for hell. You know, the mind of man is just full of deception, all kinds of deception. It's very difficult to talk to an earthly man about spiritual things. It is very difficult to talk to an earthly man and explain to them, you know, how they are wretched sinners, and they just don't see it. They think that they're decent people. They're good people. You know, I may do a few things wrong, but I'm basically a good person. You know, I look at Hitler, and I look at all of these other evil individuals, and I judge myself according to them. I use them as my measuring stick to see I am a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty likable guy, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They just cannot see it. They will not see it. They don't want to see it. And so the preaching of the true gospel is required. We have to mortify the flesh. We have to mortify the body. We have to be found standing, preaching the true gospel. And so, you know, we don't want to preach a watered-down gospel. We want to preach the true gospel. And I think that is the picture here that we're seeing here, that the body of Christ will continue. And therefore they shall live, because they will be found standing on their feet, preaching the true gospel. Even though they have put off the flesh. We've come to a time, spiritually speaking, that we have put off the flesh. And I think that is what is in view when we read in Matthew and in Mark and even in Luke, where the Lord says not to enter back into the city, you know, or down into the house to take out your clothes or to pick up your cloak. All of that, I think, is just another language of the picture of the flesh, not to put a covering back on. You know, as a matter of fact, he commands the clouds that they bring no rain upon the cities anymore. And because he has brought it to a time of judgment, and the vineyard is not to be cared for anymore. It is to bring up briars and thorns, and that is the judgment upon the city. Now, in Romans, we're told in chapter 13 that we're not to make provisions for the flesh. You know, we can't, and again, there's a higher spiritual picture here. You know, we're not to make provisions for our flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, in a physical flesh, but the higher picture, the bigger picture, is we're not to make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof in the body, in the corporate body, looking back now at the during the church age, of course, because, you know, we look back and we see how preachers have made provisions. You know, they have changed the laws, thinking they can change the times. They have allowed, for instance, divorce, and they have allowed birth control. They have made provisions for the flesh. Romans 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And this love is identifying with the preaching of the gospel. No greater love than this, than a man giveth his life for another. And, of course, that's what Christ has done. He is the gospel. He is the expression of the gospel. And we ought to bring that love of God to those who will hear. And of course, we have strong medicine to bring with that love of God, which is the preaching of hell and damnation and eternity in hell. Your sinners, repent. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And I think this is a strong group of verses to give us this picture of this flesh on that higher spiritual meaning, which we look for every place in the Bible. Every word in the Bible, every phrase in the Bible has a spiritual meaning, a greater meaning, a revealing of a mystery, the higher truth. The wicked being revealed can only be understood and appreciated and seen if you see the higher truth. If you're able to see that the wicked are the tares, those who are preaching another gospel. They may seem like good, decent people, and as far as how the world looks at them, they are very good, decent people. But they're in trouble before the Lord. They need a Savior. Being good is not going to get them into heaven. And no flesh should glory. And here again, the flesh should not glory in the presence of God. And what does the corporate church do? They glory. They glory after themselves. They lift up their own name instead of the name of Jesus Christ. They use the name of Jesus to lift up the name of Baptist, to lift up the name of Presbyterian, Episcopalian. It doesn't matter. Put what you want there. They lift up their own name. No flesh should glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. And where do we find wise men after the flesh? We find them in churches. We find them on the pulpit. They're wise in their own eyes. They claim the word of God and use that in order to bring people and lead people after themselves. And they view themselves as being wise unto the truth. And you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. Now again, there is the obvious truth here of God speaking of wise men of the world, world wisely, and mighty men of the world, and noble men of the world, people who have created great empires for themselves, and so on. That you don't find many of those after the flesh that are called unto the Lord. And this on a higher level brings us right back. You don't find many pastors called. I mean, this is a reality of today. It's a reality. When I left the church, I've met and known so many pastors in my life and have had so many conversations, and I tell you that they are the hardest to reach, from my opinion. To the best that I could see, they are the most difficult people to reach with the gospel of truth. And yet they think that they have the gospel. They say, thus saith the Lord, and I look into my Bible, and the Lord has not said it. And you just cannot convince them. They know it all. They understand. They are wise in their own eyes. And they are mighty because they rule in their congregations. They are noble because they are looked up to in their congregation. For you see, you're calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and the things that are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now it is true that God is present in all places. The Bible even says that even in hell, there is God. God is all everywhere. God is omnipresent. But this idea, this picture that no flesh should glory in his presence, gives us a picture of the fact that God has abandoned the church, because the church glories, and they are no longer in the presence of God, because the body of Christ has been called out of her. Come out of her, my people. And they cannot have the Holy Spirit dwelling with them if the body of Christ is not there. Because where do you find the Lord, and where do you find the kingdom of heaven? Behold, the kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of heaven is in the body of Christ, preaching the true gospel. He makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure, and makes us to say, thus saith the Lord, and quote scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, using the mind of God to bring forth an understanding by comparing the mind of God to the mind of God. For scripture is not open for private interpretation, the Bible tells us. And no flesh shall be justified. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, for by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So again here, no flesh shall be justified. I think again we see this picture. There is a higher level of understanding and a moral understanding that is quickly appreciated as we look at these words. And again, all scripture has a spiritual implication, has a spiritual picture to it, has a spiritual message. All scripture reveals mysteries. All scripture. So here we see, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And we are crucified with Christ, and nevertheless we live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Looking back, I think it was verse 17, for if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? You know, when people look at the corporate church during the church age, they see fault with it. And it's fleshly fault. It's the outer fault that's seen. It's the inner things that they don't see. You know, the body of Christ has been covered and unable for the world to see. When people look for the kingdom of heaven, they see the outer body, the corporate body, the fleshly body, things that relate to some degree to this world, so that they may come to it and relate to the corporate body. And in the process of relating to the corporate body during the church age, they come under the hearing of the true word of God, and then either Christ reveals himself to them, he reveals himself through the body of Christ, the mother of us all, and they see Christ through us, and they hear the voice of their father coming from the pulpit of the preacher is bringing forth that gospel of truth, which today, of course, since we're out of the church age and God is judging the church, that has not taken place. But during the church age, that was the common way that people responded to the gospel. They first saw the outward, and those who were God's elect eventually saw the inward man. God gives us parables how when you come into the church, you have to dig deep into the sand to find the rock of our salvation, to find Christ, because he's hidden. The church has always been trying to put a bushel over the light of the gospel, always putting a bushel over the body of Christ, trying to snuff out the gospel. so that they could put their own gospel there in place and lead men after themselves instead of unto the Lord. That's the constant battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6. So that's been standard. That's just the way it's always been. That's why God is always talking to us about the harlot. That was the reasons for God to give us the Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the warnings to the church. To the first church, he said, return unto your first love. Ultimately, if you look closely at all those two chapters, to the seven messages to the seven churches, it's all pretty much the same thing. Return to Christ. Repent and return. Because they keep going further and further away. Just as the Lord said to the Jews in his day, you know, how often that I would have gathered you together as a mother hen gathereth her chicks. And you wouldn't. You would not come. No flesh shall be justified. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. And that's a very interesting picture here. We read about this in Galatians chapter 5. And let me think about this a minute. I want to make a statement. This might end up to be true. I'm not too sure, sort of testing something as I'm reading this. I don't know. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. I don't know that we can understand this in any way other than to appreciate the fact that this is the corporate body lusting against the spiritual body, desiring to be as God, to be seated in the place of God. I don't know that we could see this any other way, but let's look at it and see. Maybe I'll stand corrected here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 11. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off which trouble you. And this clearly sounds like a picture of being cut off. It identifies with the ungodly among Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And God speaks of the ungodly turned away from Jacob. And Jacob's name, again, was named Israel because he represented the body of Christ. He represented the true Israel of God. We are the Israel of God. We are the holy city of God. Israel is my son, the Bible tells us, who is Christ. And we are the body of Christ. We are members of his body, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. We read that on our last study. And here now, Paul is speaking, and of course Paul is representative of God here, talking to us. And he says, I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. That they were cut off and cast away. And he's speaking about circumcision. Again, a picture of the flesh being cast away. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use your liberty for the occasion to the flesh. And again, we can kind of see the way that people would do this. I know people who claim to be Christian, and when you catch them doing things wrong and you try to talk with them, I've got liberty. I've got liberty, brother. I've got liberty. Christ died for me, and I've got liberty. That's a common position, especially among Pentecostals, at least the Pentecostals I know in my neck of the woods, so to speak. I've got liberty. So we can understand that in the flesh. You know, we excuse ourselves quite a bit, and we shouldn't be doing that. And this is the picture of what the people of the flesh will do. And again now, apply this to the corporate body. I think this is a pretty clear picture. The flesh lusteth after the Spirit. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour, boy, this doesn't sound like the corporate church, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. You know, fleshly people lusteth after the spiritual things of God because they see the power of God in it. I'm trying to think of that one individual. Goodness, I can't think of his name. When Paul was casting out, I think it was Paul, or maybe it was Peter, was cast out some demons out of an individual, and another person wanted to come over and purchase it. And either Paul or Peter said, you know, you perish along with your money. To think that these things are for sale. I forget exactly how that went. Maybe after the study, we'll look at that. That may be a good point of conversation. But I kind of get that kind of same picture here. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall fulfill. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revealing the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And now we just saw clear, you know, we've been looking at these words over the past years, looking at what does adultery, does God have in view? You know, the fleshly adultery is one thing, and through the fleshly adultery, the sins of the flesh, we see the sins of the flesh, quote-unquote, the corporate church. We see the sins of those who are leading others astray, those who God refers to them as being wicked. He calls them adulterers and fornicators. He says they're unclean and lasciviousness. They are full of idolatry and witchcraft. They're full of hatred, and they're drunk. They're full of drunkenness, and they're full of envy, and they are murderers. They bring a false gospel. They end up killing a body, a corporate body. They're full of heresies. Where do you find heresies but in a church? Strife and debate, emulations. These are all now the work of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And so I think that's a clear picture, again, of the corporate body, the corporate church. And again, of course, we understand these things by understanding these sins of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affection and with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. So the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and again, I don't know that we can see the idea of the flesh lusting against the Spirit in a fleshly way from the standpoint of, you know, within our own physical members. But I think it becomes very clear that the flesh indeed, being the picture of the corporate body, the outer covering, the outer sanctuary, the flesh being that outer covering, lusteth against the inner man, the Spirit. And again, of course, the Spirit focus is bringing us to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and not the spirit of men. Now, here God is giving us a picture of flesh as the corporate church, as people. God calls all flesh is as grass, and this grass is a picture of people. Let's compare a few different scriptures here to see if we can see. Okay, thanks, Nate. I see Nate had sent me that verse. I appreciate this, that I was looking for in Acts chapter 8 verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. After this study, maybe if we don't have a conversation or subject matter up, maybe we'll look at these verses a little bit, because I think these are it's a very interesting picture here. But anyway, back to our study here. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 17. God is setting forth a principle, a spiritual picture. It's a principle which brings us to a spiritual picture that he wants us to understand. Well, let's look at it. Verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 17. Okay. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who truly was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, and your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And that identifies with the preaching of the gospel fervently, with a pure heart, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Now God has just set forth a principle in a parable here. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof turneth away. There's another place where we read that the grass is thrown into the flame, into the fire. It's burnt. It's burnt up. And we have a lot of pictures of that. We have a picture of the tares being burnt up in the fields, as God separates the wheat from the tares. The wheat being a picture of the body of Christ, the tares being a picture of the wicked one. And until it starts to bring forth the fruits, by way of the latter rain and the ends of the world, where we indeed are at now, we don't see them bearing the fruit at the time of fruit. The weeds then reveal themselves. The wicked becomes revealed, and we see who the wicked is. And the wicked that God is speaking about is those who are saying, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has not said it. Those who are bringing a message to the people, Jesus loves you, and it is unconditional. You know, I heard a song the other day. I was in the car, and I was just passing through looking for a station. And I fell upon this Christian, quote-unquote, station. And it was a little bit of a rocky song going on. And I stayed at the station for a minute or two because I was caught by the words of the song. And what this woman was singing was that Jesus has faith in you. Talking about the person's downfalls in the song and so on and so forth. But you know what? Jesus has faith in you. And I thought that was quite amazing. Quite amazing. Jesus has faith in you. It was quite revealing on where the heart of man is. Because Jesus loves you unconditionally. He loves you. Confess him and you're saved. I mean, that's the message. Ultimately, when you boil it down, that's the message they bring, and that's a message straight from hell. They deny the grace. They deny the work of Christ. They put it all into their own hands. But anyway, I lost my place here. I'm going to start all over. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who truly was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. All flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And so clearly God is giving us a picture identifying this flesh with grass. He's given us a parable, and he's also given us the picture of the idea. He's speaking about what's going on in the church, in the corporate bodies. He's talking about wherefore laying aside the malice, the guile, the hypocrisies, the envies, and all evil speaking. But be as newborn babes desiring for the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And the corporate church, of course, you know, we have found that problem here in the Christian area, how they come in to assault us as we're looking into the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept. We had an individual in here yesterday who spent quite a long time with John R. In a conversation, and goodness, by the time it came to an end, John R. made the point, you know, you've been in here for quite some time, you had the mic for quite some time, we spoke about a lot of things, but you haven't brought up one Bible verse, not one. In John chapter 6, verse 10, looking at grass, and Jesus said, make the men to sit down, for there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in numbers of 5,000. Now this is a pretty amazing spiritual picture here when you really start to dissect these words and take it back to the Bible, take it back to the mind of God to understand. You know, we were just taught that all flesh is grass. God has given us a spiritual picture. He's given us a parable. And he revealed that grass is a picture of flesh. It identifies with mankind. It identifies with men. And ultimately, it is a picture of the corporate church. And now, there was much grass in this place. In the place. Now, when we look in the context here of John 6, we discover he's in a desert place. A lot of sun, a lot of heat, a lot of sand. And all of a sudden, there was much grass in this place. Why? What brings grass in a desert? A lot of water brings grass in a desert. And the water is a picture of the gospel. Out of our bellies flow rivers of living water. God speaks of the gospel as the rains that often come upon the earth. He tells us in the end times, he speaks of the latter rain and the earlier rain. It all identifies with the preaching of the gospel. And now all of a sudden there's a lot of grass here. It's green grass. because there's a lot of water, there's a lot of gospel. And what does he tell the men? These men are receiving the bread of life. He's going to perform a miracle and feed them with a couple of fishes and a few loaves of bread, all these thousands of people. And he breaks them up into numbers of 5,000, into ranks of 5,000. And he tells them to sit down. The spiritual picture of sitting is to rule. And the body of Christ is living and reigning and ruling with Christ when they become born again. We are seated with him in heavenly places in our soul existence. And he is seated on his throne ruling. And we are seated with him in those heavenly places. And we are ruling and reigning. Where? During the church age, we were ruling and reigning in the corporate church. Now, of course, it wasn't us. It was Christ. And we were ruling with him. And we were ambassadors for Christ. And Christ was making us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he put into our hearts and therefore into our minds and therefore out of our mouth the words of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. And therefore there is the picture of ruling, bringing a gospel. We are to rule our house. That's what we were looking at those verses. It was last study or the study before. We are to rule our house. But here, we have this picture of the grass, green grass, much grass, a lot of water, sitting down, ruling is in view. Ruling what? Sitting on the grass, ruling the flesh, ruling the corporate church, ruling the corporate body, bringing a gospel. And they were brought down in numbers of about 5,000. Now, 5 has two spiritual meanings we've discovered in the Bible, and one is identifies with judgment, and the other one identifies with grace. We see that picture clearly in Matthew 25 to the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, 5 were under the grace and 5 were under the judgment, as we develop the story, clear as crystal. And here now God is giving us the picture of the number 5. Clearly this is a picture of grace. These are the people, those 5,000, is a picture of those who have received the grace of God. And they were told to sit down, to rule, to bring forth the grace by the preaching of the gospel. 1,000 identifies with the completeness of what God has in view. So this identifies with the entire body of Christ throughout time, preaching a gospel. I'm going to look at one more, or maybe a couple more verses. I know we're running close. Let me see how many more. Okay, we got 2 more places where we can going to look at grass. So we'll finish that off in this study. I don't want to run over the hour, but we'll try not to. Another place we see the grass and the flower thereof falleth is what is in view. Again, an idea of what we just saw back in 1 Peter where we read, I'm looking back for that verse, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. In James chapter 1, we read in verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. The sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. And this rich man, I think, is a picture of the corporate church. Here is a picture of a flower that falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perish. Why is that? God has sent the sun. Sun is good for the grass. It causes the food to be produced within the grass, the process of photosynthesis. But in order for photosynthesis to take place, there is something else that is required, and that is water. If you don't have water, that grass is going to burn up. It's going to fade away. And that exactly is what has happened in the corporate body, of course, today. All green grass was burnt up. The grass and the flower thereof falleth. The sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. It is a picture of judgment, and it's exactly God has put up the heat. judgment onto the corporate church, and yet has sent famines into the land, and has dried up the river of life, has dried up all of the water, and the famines he's sending is a famine of the hearing of the word of God, the bread of life. Now, the picture of all green grass being burnt up, we see in Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, the first messenger sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. All of this is a picture of judgment. Hail is frozen water. It identifies with water, identifies with the gospel, but gospel falling in judgment. And fire, hail and fire mingled with blood. Fire is judgment. Blood is judgment. We've seen this over and over and over again. We saw how Moses turned the water into blood upon Egypt. And here a picture of the blood with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, the corporate church. The earth is the word here, the Greek word ge, is spelled G-E, pronounced ge. And we have seen in our studies, and we continue to test this, that it doesn't seem to fail, that the earth is a picture of the corporate church. And the third part of the trees was burnt up. You know, there's another place where we see in Scripture where the man who was cured of the blindness, and the Lord says, "What do you see?" And he says, "I see men walking around as trees. Men are as trees." God identifies us as trees. He gives us a picture of, you know, "You shall know them by their fruits." A good tree, so on and so forth, brings forth good fruits. An evil tree brings forth evil fruits, bad fruits. And he talks about that which comes up out of the belly, which comes up out of the heart. But anyway, a third part of the trees was burnt up, and this third identifies with the corporate church very clearly also. And all green grass was burned up. There was judgment upon them. It withered away. The flower fadeth. There's no more water. Okay, we're going to end our study there, and we'll pick it up next time in the same area. We're going to be looking at a few other things, and we're going to continue to look at flesh. We're going to look at strange flesh. We're going to look at eating her flesh of Revelation 17. We're going to see how the fowls were filled with their flesh. And we're going to see two different levels of this. We're going to see the flesh identifying with the sins of the flesh in a very personal way that every individual understands clearly, how they feed the flesh, the sins of their flesh. And we see how the unholy spirit, if I may, you know, the spirit of man that dwells in the hearts of unsaved men, how that unholy spirit feeds off the sins of the flesh. And how others feed off the sins of others, and how they eat how the fowls of the heavens come to devour the flesh. Again, this flesh being that picture of the outer covering of the corporate church, identifying with it, the corporate church. All right, anyway, we're going to end it there. If anybody has any questions or comments concerning this study, or any corrections that could be offered up, by all means, raise your hand or pick up the mic.